Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy, and I got with me a couple OGs. The first one I'll introduce, we'll go youngest to oldest this time. He hails from California, but currently lives in Houston, in the greater Houston, Texas area. He weighs in at about, and he is 6'4". I don't know how much you weigh right now. I don't know if you want to expose that either. Or not. Okay, well, he weighs close something to his playing weight when he's in Wichita. If you're like me, you just substitute some of that muscle for fat. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Same weight, just different body.
Way different body.
And so without further ado, my man Kay Scott, what's up, Kay?
You know, what's going on, man? You know, I'm a couple cookies short of, you know, making the what is it called? The scale not turn back on, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. I probably gained a couple weight because I've been eating cookies for a little bit. So
well, it doesn't help that your wife's got a
vacation.
Yeah, it doesn't help that your wife's got a bomb cookie company.
Yeah, I know. I was like, God dog it. I guess I'll try these two. So yeah.
And then my other man on the horn, we got Jason Hewlett. What's up, Jay?
Hey guys. Good to man, I'm feeling like the cookie monster over here. I need some cookies, I guess. Gosh.
You don't want as many cookies as I had this weekend, though. That's too much. That's too much. You have to get a bigger scale. I have to start weighing myself where they do the trash compactors at. No, the dump. Weigh myself there. Yeah, not be able to fit on a regular scale soon. So,
You got to get two scales, put one on each, foot. And add the total.
I'm getting close there, man. I'm getting close there. So, well, you guys, thanks for jumping on the call with me. We got another question. We just got done wrapping up a question from a parent, and we got another question from a parent. We're focusing on sports this week because with football season starting, lots of sports starting, back to school, a lot of your kids will be engaging in sports. If they already weren't training, they'll be back in sports again right now. And so we got a couple questions, and we answered one our last episode. We got another episode here for another question. So, Jason, why don't you read the question for us?
Yeah, so this one comes from a parent. We appreciate anybody that sends these in. This is awesome. How do you talk to your child when they complain about playing time in sports, but you can see that they aren't as practiced or ready as the kids that are in the game?
Ooh. Well, there's been a lot of pushback lately in recent years. And I see there's a good argument to this. Sometimes it's blown out of proportion, my opinion. But a lot of people, you guys probably heard about this this discussion with youth sports, where they give, in some youth sports, they give everybody a trophy.
Mm-hmm. Participation.
Participation, yep. Trophy. Now, there's definitely an argument for participation trophies the younger the kid is, right? Like when they're really, really young, like 4 or 5 year olds, they want to keep them in. But as you start to get older, that's when the argument starts to come in a little bit. And I think what happens is as the kids start to get older, all of us as parents, we want our kids to be special. We want our kids to be the best. We want them, because one, it makes them feel good. We see their confidence grows. We love to see our kids happy. And also selfishly, we like it too, right? I don't think there's anything wrong to say if your kid's amazing at a sport. That's my baby, right? Now, obviously some parents take it a little too far.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes their identity. You know, they got a million stickers on their car. You're like, okay, we get it. Your kid's a star athlete at such and such school. Like, you don't need 5 stickers. But when we're talking about your kids starting to feel like they deserve more, sometimes us as parents, sometimes we created that monster. Sometimes we told them they're so amazing, they're so great at everything, that for some reason they didn't get the other half of that message, which is you have to work hard to continue to be great, to keep at a certain level. In fact, a lot of people say, you know, it's hard to get to the top, but it's even harder to stay there. Mm-hmm. There's lots of sayings like that. To be the champ, hard. Stay the champ, really hard. So as your kids start to show that type of sign where they're thinking they're deserving more playing time, I want you to go back and listen to our last episode, because what we're going to talk about here is kind of grounded and rooted in a lot of little nuggets, a lot of things we shared in the last episode. And the general consensus of the last episode is that us as parents, we got to be coaches for our kids so that they know how to handle the situation. Yes, they may not be getting enough playing time from a coach. And the reality of it is, like it says in this question, maybe they're just not deserving of it. Maybe their attitude, their behavior, their work ethic isn't there, but their talent's there. Maybe their work ethic and how much, you know, they love the game is there, but their talent's not there and they need to improve on skills. Whichever the situation is, you're gonna have to coach your kids how to be able to first accept reality on reality's terms, not on your feelings terms. Your feelings are real and they're not necessarily reality. If people have been listening to this podcast for a long time, they'll know that's one of the go-to social health comments, statements, branding, is that your feelings are real and they're not necessarily reality. So if you want to coach your kids in this, and Jason and K Scott, I'm sure you guys can give added detail to this. If you want to coach your kids in this, you want to acknowledge that it's like, man, tell me how you feel. Let them tell you how they feel. That's step one. Right? They got to face it first. Step one is facing it. Okay. You face it. Then you got to help them replace it, their feelings, how they feel. You got to help their thoughts and feelings be replaced within reality. Because reality doesn't care if you're short, tall, 300 pounds, 130 pounds, right? Reality is just, that's the way it is. Okay. Sunrise in the east, sets in the west. It's like, well, I wanted to rise in the east and set in the south. You're like, okay, well, anyways, it's going to rise in the east and the west.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just can't bend reality to our will. And as kids, you can't blame a kid for thinking that way or want that way. So whatever they say their situation is, if they're complaining, I don't get enough playing time. Listen to complaint. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's true, man. Like you really have gone to practice. You've really done these things. That's true. You probably should deserve more playing time. But then this is how you switch it over with the word like, however, or another word called and. Then you can switch it over. So the first part is facing it. The second part is replacing it. What we're facing is we're facing the emotions, the feelings, the thoughts. Now we're replacing it with just reality. So when you want to replace something, it's got to start off with something like however or and. So your kid gets done complaining. You're listening to them saying, man, that based on what you're saying, I could see why you feel like you deserve more time. I could see why, like, you're frustrated that you weren't playing this much or that you got pulled out of the game early just because you missed one shot, whatever the situation is. I could see that. Your kid's going to calm down. They're going to feel like they're heard. They're validated. Plus, they get to vent it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't be the parent that jumps in and says, wait, why are you feeling that way? What's going on? Give me more details. I'm going to go fix it for you. Or some parents like, oh, well, aren't you sure you're just complaining? Like, you know, will you miss practice? You know, maybe you don't deserve to start. Don't get to that. Don't get to the telling your kid what the problem is. Hear them out. That's the facing part. Then when they're ready to replace it, you can say something like this. I see your complaints. And I also am wondering if there's things that maybe you could do better or work on that you haven't done yet. Now, I'm not saying what you're saying isn't true. I'm just wondering, can you think of some things that maybe you're not doing that's stopping you from getting on the court or getting on the field would have it? Now, if your kids go, no, it's just political, they're favoring so-and-so, they're famous so-and-so, you could even add a little light humor and say, oh, gosh, well, so does this mean that basketball or football is just going to be over then? I guess all the hard work that you put in all these years, just, I don't know, does this mean that you're going to quit it? Or does this mean you're going to try to find ways to make it better? Well, no, I'm not going to quit. I mean, I'm going to make it better. Okay, well, what are some things you can do to make it better? Mm-hmm. Right. So just flipping that over from the facing to the replacing. Once they come up with some ideas, you may have to lead them into it. You may have to say something like, would you mind if I give you some suggestions? Yeah. Well, maybe you should go to your coach and pull your coach aside and say, hey, listen, I was wondering if you come up with like a list of three or four things that I could work on so that I could get more playing time, but most importantly, so I could help the team more. Because if I don't get in the game more, maybe it's because of who we're playing, or maybe because I had a bad game last time. But I know if I get a bad attitude and I start, you know, getting all pissed off and angry and complaining because I'm not playing time, that's going to bring the energy of the team down. And I know you don't want that as a coach. And I don't want to be that downer guy.
Right.
I've never had an athlete throughout all the years that either I coach them or their parents coach them to say something like that to the coach that didn't have a 100% positive response from the coach. Mm-hmm. It's a positive response. So that next step, going and talking to them, it's called taking action. So it's face, replace, take action. So you got to face the reality, let them vent about it, Replace, face the emotion, let them vent about it, replace it with reality. Once they replace it with reality, then whatever the ideas they came up with to go talk to the coach, work harder, then they actually have to do those things. That's the action part. Again, I know you guys have used all three of these things, whether you've called them something different, whatever, but that's what I'm telling parents when they come to me and they say, how do I handle this with my kid? Because I don't want to hurt my kids' feelings, but at the same time, I also don't want to, like, you know, give them some unrealistic expectations that they do deserve to play when they probably haven't put in the work, or maybe they're lacking talent. So just some thoughts off the top of your guys' heads.
I mean, I love it, you know, coming from where I'm coaching 7 for 7 and every kid feel like they are the starter. In some cases, they probably will be the starter on other teams because our team is that, you know, pretty good. And the one thing I love about our parents is that they're not the parents that say, man, my kids should be playing, blah, blah, blah. One thing I love about our parents is that they'd be like, hey, what are some things my kid can work on? Because I see that this other kid is talented as well. But what are some things that my son can work on in order to get more reps, or we can slide him over into another position so that he can get more reps? And a lot of times it's just like, hey, at this position, this guy's just better suited for you. However, with his strengths, I can move him somewhere else to where he would get more playing time. And so that's what I had to do a lot. Whenever parents come to me and ask me, how can my kid get on? I will say, like, hey, here's a couple things that is the reason why they're not playing. However, even though I listed these certain things, if there are some other ways that we can insert him into other places to where he can get that, kind of expedite that process. So I kind of give them a roadmap of, like, yes, they're not playing. Like you said, face it. Yes, they're not playing. Replace it with, but here's how, you know.
Because if you just want to get on the field, there's other ways to get on the field.
Exactly. So just trying to give, let them know that their versatility is key and durability is too. So the more versatile you are with your skill sets, and it helps them too, because it allows them to recognize their strengths or areas of opportunity to kind of like get playing time, like for further down the line in the future for them. Right. And so it just helps them out a lot whenever we come to them in that type of angle, rather than being like, hey, you're not playing because you just suck. Right. Yeah. It's like, hey, here's some things to work on. If you work on them, here's the outcome. However, if you want to expedite the process, here's another lane that you can go into as well.
Heck yeah. I love it. I love it. Great example. Jason, what you got?
Yeah. Great thoughts, K-Scott. That's cool. And I mean, I'd have to lean into something that I've read and heard Kaz say so many times. You've got to err on the side of the relationship with the child. At this point and moment, you know, when they're defeated or they're deflated, and you do have to face the reality of perhaps they are not that good compared to the kids that are playing. This is a formidable time where what you say in this time and moment, they'll always remember you said it as a parent. Like, it could very well define them for like the rest of their life. And so I'm not trying to scare a parent into what you're going to do or say, but listening to what Kaz and K-Scott are saying is so essential. I would then also add to what's already been said to help them to now decide between their goals and their promises with what they want to become. And so it's like, hey, you know, if the reality is that, yes, this kid's going to play more than you, or the coach just trusts them more and you can improve and work. But what are your goals and what do you promise you're going to do every single day to get better? Can you be the best cheerleader on the team? Can you be the best hustler? Can you be the one that's the most supportive? And can you understand that you have other roles within the system that could very well help in ways that nobody else is doing? You know, and my kids play basketball and lacrosse and they're not on the football team, but when my son's playing basketball, I'm like, be the one on the floor, grab the rebounds, dive, go after it,
get scrappy,
be scrappy, be Dennis Rodman, go do that, and you'll always be valuable.
Yes.
So finding ways to be valuable on and off the court, which is the first one to high five as they come off, you know, the floor to the bench. If that's who you are, that's a good thing that you're on the team. It's not to say that you've, you know, allowed yourself to fall to some other place, but how can you continue to rise up a team while you're in the position that you're on? At least you're on this team and you have a great opportunity to support each other.
You know, what you just said, Jason, I've had parents actually tell me a, you know, similar situation, told them what to do. They did what you actually just said, Jason, as far as like having their kid have realistic expectations, like, you know, maybe they're not the best person. And the kid said, yeah, if I'm not going to be the starter, if I'm not going to be doing this, I don't really care about the other team. I don't really care about the team that much. And they had confessed that it was more like that was the reason why they did it, was to be great at it and to get attention. Now, because of that, the kids were pretty adamant about they didn't want to play anymore if they weren't going to get what they want. That was the hard part for a couple of parents, because now the kids are wanting to quit. Now the parents are like, no, I don't want them to have this as a pattern. If they can't get what they want, they just bail out or anything. And I think that could be a whole nother episode. Maybe we'll do a part three on that episode as I'm talking out right now, because how to deal with when your kids are convinced that quitting is the best option.
Wow.
So I know that's not this question, but I think we should add that for the next one. But it just made me think of that, because what you just said was accurate. But sometimes kids come back and be like, all right, well, then I won't play anymore. I don't want to do it then.
Yeah, sure.
And you know what's crazy too, Jason, you said something that is far beyond the sports field. And basically you're teaching the kids how to search for areas of opportunity where they can fill in and add value. You can input that into business, whatever they want to do in life, society, community. They can now search out, okay, here's my strengths. Here are some areas that are weak that I can be able to fill that void and find my role and just own it to add value. That was impressive. So if learning how to find your role and own it is like one of the essential keys that I feel like every kid needs to learn how to do, whether it's the high five energy guy, whether it's to jump on the floor, scratch your elbows, whether it's shooting threes, whatever your role is, find it and own it.
How many superstar, six-time world champion Michael Jordans are there on the planet?
Besides me, I don't know.
One. There's one. Okay. But how Not many me. People are intricate partners or valued assets in the Jordan brand?
Pippen, Kerr.
And well, not only that, just think about the people behind the scenes that work for Jordan, the company,
the trainers,
the marketing
the shoe
executive.
Guy. If you saw the Nike Air movie, I mean, just think about that. Like guys that we've never even heard of until 30 years later, 40 years later, that it made all the difference. You're right, Cause. It's so cool to find out that behind the scenes, the people that make it happen and make it work. And we all have our place. We all have our signature moves. We need to keep the promise to share that with the world. And that's an important part of this conversation.
Yeah. If your promise is, I want to lift my team and be the best, so my team can be the best it can be, work team, whatever it may be, then you're going to be valuable. You're going to find a talent. You're going to find a niche. If you're like saying, I want to run this team. I want to be the owner. I want to be the end all be all stop and start of this team. I'm not saying you can't do that and start your own company. I'm just saying on the way up, especially in like high school sports or youth sports, you're probably not going to find that much group success, even if you find individual success. You'll be one of those kids that's bouncing around from team to teams. They're always at a different school. I had a friend of mine, his son, in 4 years of high school, I think he'd signed up to play for 7 different high school teams.
Oh my God.
End up getting a D1 scholarship, but it was kind of a joke after a while. It's like he'd leave one team because he had no roots. He had no nothing. There's no loyalty to any of the communities, any of the teams there. And that's one of the things that my buddy told me he regretted. They were chasing that D1 scholarship so much that they could. He's like, we would have got a D1 scholarship no matter where he played at. You know what I mean? We're just trying to like run all around. All it did is uproot our family and cause a lot of issues that were unnecessary.
Wow.
So there's a big place, in the value of being a very important role player.
That's real.
And who knows, role players get their shot too. Sometimes they hit the game winning shot like Steve Kerr.
Kerr did. Yeah, man. And that's a great story. And I think it comes down to the fact that when you have those conversations with that kid, and I would love the further conversation on the quitting part. That's really fascinating.
Right.
I think that, you know, having the conversation to say, hey, maybe they have their rotation of six or seven guys in the game, and you're the ultimate person to get them ready for it in the practice. Mm-hmm. You know, are you willing to be that guy? Because that guy's as important as anyone they're going to go up against to get them ready to go, and that'll make you better. And, you know, those are interesting conversations as a parent to have. They're sobering because, you know, everybody wants to be the star. And right. then eventually you realize I could be the star in any role I'm in. It's a beautiful thing.
That's true. That's true. I love it. All right, you guys, well, let's go and wrap that one up for today. But yeah, we'll definitely have to continue on. How do you help your kid when they're hell bent on quitting and giving up? Okay, that'll be the next one for us. All right, you guys, as always, thank you for following us here on OG Therapy. Follow us on Instagram at OG.Therapy. Follow us on YouTube, OG Therapy, Patreon, www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. It's $5 a month, but you get to see our beautiful faces on these episodes and 2 years of bonus content that is not on the normal social media platforms or podcast platforms. You can find Jason Hewlett at Jason Hewlett, exactly how his name spelled. H-E-W-L-E-T-T. And you can find me at David_Kozlowski, K-O-Z-L-O-W-S-K-I _. And you can find Kenneth Scott at
K-Scott_2 on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
All right. And until next time, you guys, thanks for trusting us with all your deepest, darkest secrets. So whenever you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do, I'm down on my knees, just come talk to your OGs. Talk to you guys soon.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.